Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. We've got a lot to talk about this week, so let's get started.
I think the first thing I want to talk about today, Derek, is an article by Victor Davis Hanson in the February 22nd issue of the Epoch Times. He's talking about the failure of the bureaucracies in the federal government, and especially focused on the air traffic control system. As a lifelong pilot, I've been flying more than 50 years. I'm very familiar with the system and use it as much as any probably small plane pilot in New Mexico, frankly. We fly a lot. And I'm noticing that a lot of the people who have experience in air traffic control are retiring, and I'm seeing very dangerous occurrences, not just one or two, but now they seem to be repeating, where one aircraft would be cleared to land on a runway, another aircraft would be cleared to take off at the same time, and you get two airliners on a collision course. That's a bad recipe. One of the incidents came within 100 feet. Now, 100 feet when you're going about 250 miles an hour is extremely dangerous. And so we're putting lives at risk because of the failure of the bureaucracy. Now, Pete Buttigieg, who is the Secretary of Transportation, you remember he shut down almost 2 years for COVID, never went into the office once. And then he and his gay partner adopted a child, and then he took 6 months off for parental leave. And so he basically has done nothing in the job, and the system is crumbling around him. That derailment of the train up in Ohio is an example of the failure, and they don't seem to even care. And the press doesn't seem to care either.
No, they blame Trump. Did you see that? They tried to say it was caused by some of President Trump's deregulations. So Trump went out and had a study done to prove that his deregulations had nothing to do with the train crash.
I know it just is the way the left works. They're never responsible for anything. Their policies never work. They don't have an idea how to govern. They got no background in management of businesses, and so they don't know how to manage. And yet they always try to find a link and blame a Republican for it. It's a catastrophe that is waiting to happen in our entire transportation system, and the government doesn't seem to really know or care what to do about it. I think that we've got a lot of heartache lying ahead of us due to these kinds of failures.
I remember as a kid, we never saw bridges failing. We never saw train crash, once in a while, but nothing like we've had lately. Spills and different things that we're seeing now. We keep passing these infrastructure bills, but nothing ever seems to get fixed. Look at the roads in New Mexico. How about down there in Hobbs with all those big tanker trucks? Have they fixed that yet?
No. It's the roads here are horrific. And we're responsible between Hobbs, Lee County, and Eddy County, and Chavez County, and San Juan. We're responsible for almost 45% of the money that goes to Santa Fe. And yet we can't get the roads fixed to keep these trucks moving. And so you get just this failure of infrastructure. You're talking about the bridge collapses. That came about because we started importing bolts from China. When we manufactured our bolts here, they have different grades and qualities. Grade 8 bolts are very hard. It takes more time to harden them up in the heating process, and they are stronger. That's what we used to build bridges with. When we started importing from the Chinese, we had no quality control on that. They could describe them as grade 8 if they wanted to. But the truth is, we got bridges all across the country built with Chinese bolts that have gone through no stress testing, no legitimate grading process to let us know that they will stand the traffic that is on the bridges and highways year after year. Again, the outsourcing of our economy to the Chinese. We don't make our medicines anymore. We don't manufacture all of the major tools that we use in industry. And so at some point we have a crisis coming because the Chinese seem to be escalating the move towards conflict, and the Biden administration seems to be out of their league. They are sitting on their hands and not knowing what to do.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I want to bring this up. During the Cold War with Russia, it's a communist country, so we didn't buy anything from Russia. Remember that we didn't buy any clothes, tools, refrigerators. They couldn't even sell their cars here. Why are we doing this with a communist government in China?
Yeah, it's because the Chinese have bought a lot of influence here in the U.S. You saw Eric Swalwell was dating that Chinese spy. They have tentacles running throughout the government, and there doesn't seem to be anything that we can do to stop it. Just this last week, Congresswoman Chu from California And there are pictures made with one of the revolutionaries from the CCCP, the Chinese Communist Party. And there's a stir going on about it, but basically the left doesn't care. They think that there's a moral equivalency between freedom and between what they see in China. They think they're all the same. Well, it is not all the same. And so I worry along this same track. Right now, a very important discussion going on with what the Biden administration is trying to outsource and give over responsibility to the WHO, the World Health Organization. Now, understand that what the World Health Organization wants to do is set up a digital health passport, and that passport would be a way to control every single aspect of our business. It's just the globalist attempt to subvert the U.S. Constitution. They can't get guns outlawed through the U.S. because it's constitutional. It would require a constitution change. That's two-thirds of the population, and never are there going to be two-thirds that want to get rid of guns. And so by outsourcing our decisions like this to the World Health Organization, Biden can subvert the Constitution. The only problem is the rest of our freedoms go with it. That health passport is exactly what the Chinese are using to control their population. Without this health passport, and you have to follow all the rules, you can't offer dissent into the government or they can take away your passport. Without the passport, you can't leave your house, you can't have a job, you can't travel either domestically inside the country, or you can't travel internationally to other countries. And so basically, this piece of paper, and maybe even just a digital piece of paper, is going to be able to control our very lives and freedom. And yet, the Biden administration is gladly going along with it. This essentially is a treaty, and by our Constitution, all treaties are supposed to be approved by a two-thirds vote in the U.S. Senate. Well, they're bypassing that. They're tacking on to some decision that was made 20 years ago and saying, well, this is the same as that. It is not the same as anything we've done before. It's giving the responsibility for our freedom over to an organization that doesn't want our freedom at all. And so I would urge that people get involved and write their congressmen or their senators about ceding over our power to the World Health Organization, which the Biden administration is undergoing right now.
Our tax dollars are being used by the Biden administration to bail out the Teamsters Union pensions. Tell us about it.
Well, all of the retirement programs in the nation are basically underwater. If you're in a government retirement program, probably even if you're in, say, an airline union, then probably it is not going to be able to make the payments that it has promised. There are 13 different retirement programs in California, each one for a different segment of the government. And all 13 are tens of billions, maybe even trillions in the red. But the Teamsters Union has especially made promises that they can't fund. They were $36 billion overdrawn. And so Joe Biden just gave taxpayer money, $36 billion to the Teamsters Union to bail out their pension program. I will guarantee you that there's not enough money printed in the world to solve all the problems with the pensions. When you look at every county across the U.S., every state pension system is underwater. Every union pension system is underwater. And so when we start bailing out that, they're going to have to print money at a lot faster pace. But in this $1.7 trillion spending bill that was passed right at the end of 2022, just before the Congress let out and the new Congress was sworn in, they knew they couldn't get Republicans to pass this. And so in the dark of night, they passed the $1.7 trillion supposedly the stimulus bill. And what it did was stimulate the Teamsters Union to the tune of $36 billion. So get ready for it, because you're going to see many, many more unions and many more pension plans now going to the federal government saying, you got to bail us out. That's the problem with the postal system. It is constantly just close to bankruptcy because they can't fund the pension system. And so the U.S. government keeps going up on stamps and they keep bailing out the postal system. That postal system needs to be privatized. That would cure the problems.
You saw that the president said back in April, and I'll play the clip of him saying it, but he basically says we're going to help the Ukraine with their pensions while our Social Security is expected to go broke.
It's going to allow pensions and social support to be paid to the Ukrainian people so they have something in their pocket.
The Social Security system basically is broke right now. it is paying out far more than it can sustain. And I mean, it is broke to the tune of hundreds of trillions of dollars. And so, again, we've made promises that we can't keep. We've emptied the Social Security Trust Fund. If it had been managed properly, there would be plenty of money in the lockbox available to retirees. But instead, through the years, different legislators, different congressional representatives have put their hand into the pot, pulled money out, and distributed it around to different groups. And so, yes, our Social Security system is basically broke. And Biden is saying we need to go bail out the Ukrainian system. He has no grasp of reality. He's been in Washington too long. He was too long in the Senate spending other people's money. And he's lost touch with reality when he starts making these kinds of suggestions.
Think about if you could have had the choice to invest in Social Security or some other retirement plan when you started working, how much money you'd have right now compared to what you get in Social Security.
We did a study on that back when I was in Congress, and our office dug deeply into that. And I forget the exact numbers, but we had one guy here in Lovington, New Mexico, put $2,000 into a local utility stock. The utilities are never high performers, but his $2,000 became, I think over 20 years, became $32,000. And that's the kind of growth that you got in the stock market over the decades. If you put $2,000 20 years ago into Social Security, and we all pay far more than that every year into that, then you wound up with $2,050. After 20 years, you wound up with nothing. And so that's the problem that we're facing right now on Social Security. But again, it is exacerbated when the government goes in and bails out individual pension systems, like for the Teamsters. Every taxpayer should be offended by that, no matter what your political beliefs. You should be offended by the fact that we're bailing out pension systems that are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in retirement to individuals. So it's not like they're on food stamps at the Teamsters Union when you retire. You can easily draw above 100,000. Many of the government pension programs, people are drawing over 100,000 a year in retirement, and folks making 31, 32,000 a year in New Mexico are paying to fund those retirement programs because they will not stand on their own.
Should President Biden be allowed to forgive federal student loans? We'll talk about that and more next on Inside New Mexico.
A message from the Gallup Chamber.
Senate Bill 11, the Paid Family Medical Leave Act, is bad for employees and bad for business. If you don't like having 30% in taxes taken out of each and every paycheck, how about adding another 0.5%? That's what Senate Bill 11 will do. It will decrease each and every paycheck you earn. It's time we told politicians we want to keep our hard-earned money. Text NOTAXNM to 52886. That's NOTAXNM to 52886. And ask your legislators to vote no on Senate Bill 11.
Thanks for staying with me on Inside New Mexico. I want to continue my series of interviews with the county party chairs of the Republican Party of New Mexico. First off, we'll hear from Tim Keithley in Lincoln County.
Tim, how you doing?
Good. Great to see you here today. It's been a while.
Yeah, I know. And we worked together a long time ago, and it's great to see you're still on the radio in Ruidoso.
Still doing the radio in Ruidoso, and I, of course, worked with Congressman Pierce for a time, and still involved in the political aspect of New Mexico. I know a lot of folks believe, and I'm one of those people, that eventually we'll see New Mexico as a red state. I just think it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. I just think it'll take more and more each election cycle for New Mexico to finally maybe change and become more of a conservative state, maybe see some more Republican statewide office holders.
So what would you say to people listening right now that are maybe conservative Democrats, declined a state or independents, about the Republican Party of New Mexico?
Well, I mean, I think it's all-inclusive is probably what I'd say. When you come to a meeting like what we're having today on this Saturday, you have chairmen, secretaries, treasurers from the county offices that are all here. There's probably 20 out of the 33 counties represented, and you'll notice that all of them, well, not all of them, but a majority of them are young people and maybe having a new idea or a fresh idea about politics and maybe how to change New Mexico, and that really keeps you enthused about the future.
I hear that a lot of misinformation. I know, for instance, I've heard comments from the other side saying that Republicans are going to get rid of Social Security and Medicare by not allowing the debt ceiling to go up. I haven't heard any Republicans say that.
Don't you think, Derek, though, that that's more scare tactics and we both know it?
But people fall for it, Tim.
Sure, they do. They do.
So what can we say to
them? I just think they're wiser, though, as the years have gone on. They maybe see through that a little bit further. I think that, like in this room, like I was mentioning, these young folks have maybe a new, bright, energetic vibe about themselves that maybe they see a difference in the political aspect, that it doesn't have to be a dogfight. You know, Republicans and Democrats don't have to continually be at each other's throats. And in New Mexico, I see it as more urban and rural. Like, as an example, where I come from, we're big, strong proponents of the oil and gas industry. And that revenue that comes into New Mexico, we want to see it being used statewide and not just in your neck of the woods in Albuquerque. So I think in New Mexico, it's less of a fight of Republican Democrat as it is rural urban.
So another stereotype, Republicans are accused of wanting dirty air and dirty water.
And we push grandma off the cliff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all of that, I think, has been on the table as a stereotype. And if you go into this room and you see some of the young people that are getting involved, I don't think they believe that for a minute. And I think that over time, you're going to see more and more folks in New Mexico voting conservative.
Well, we already are.
You can see it in the statistics from the past elections. There are more registered Republicans coming on board, more so than Democrats statewide. But, you know, this isn't going to be one election cycle. As you and I have been watching it over two decades now, you see that eventually Republicans are getting closer and closer to the gap. Like, as an example, in Albuquerque, there's Bernalillo County specifically, for every one Republican, there's 1.7 Democrats. And can you get that number even down to, in this next cycle, 1.2 for every one? And eventually, if it's even money, if it's one-on-one, that's when you win elections.
Yeah, and then, of course, you have Democrats that just go by their quality of life, and they're seeing that go down. So they may not change parties, but they'll not vote for Democrats.
And they see some of these extreme progressive bills being discussed. I mean, it's really incredible. I mean, you read some of these bills, like, as an example, HB 7 that's being discussed statewide, having to do with transgender and abortion. You read some of these bills, you educate yourself on them, and you see this really isn't a Democrat bill. It's a progressive extremist bill. And so then you'll find more and more Democrats and Republicans voting to stop some of this extreme progressive nature that's happening in New Mexico.
I'm talking with Tim Keithley, who is the chairman of the Republican Party in Lincoln County. Tim, it's good to talk with you again.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and thank you for coming.
Now here is Angie Smith, the chair of the Roosevelt County Republican Party.
I wanted to ask you about what some of the big issues in Roosevelt County are for the Republican Party.
Well, I would say agriculture is always top of the list because we are largely an agricultural community. Education is always another very big important one, and right now small businesses are hurting. We've lost so many of our businesses, and in communicating with other small business owners, the kind of bills that are before our legislature right now that would drastically harm them even further. Small business is also a very big deal in Roosevelt County.
That's nonpartisan. Republicans and Democrats own small businesses. So if we have Democrats or declined a state or independents that are listening to us right now and aren't happy about some of these things, how would they get involved with the Republican Party of Roosevelt County?
The best way to do it at this point, and we are in the middle of, and this is one of the reasons I'm so glad that we're here today at the summit, but one of the things that we're wanting to do is to increase our communications with our county so that people can find us and we can let them know what's going on better, faster, more efficiently. Right now, I would say for today, the best way to find us would be to reach out to me personally via phone, and or you, if you're on Facebook, you can reach out to Facebook and contact us through Facebook at this point. And then we're going to look at setting up a website soon and some of those other options as well.
Because I know there are a lot of people out there looking for change. If I'm not a Republican and I'm listening to Angie Smith, the Roosevelt County Chair of the Republican Party, what would you say to me to get me to look into the Republican Party?
I would say that chances are that we have a lot of the same values. We have a lot of the same things that are very important to us. And I would just like to express to people that when I look at serving in the Republican Party, really my heart is to serve all of Roosevelt County, everyone that lives there. You're all my neighbors, all my friends. I care about everything going on with all of you. The reason with the Republican Party is because I believe through years of research and looking into things, it's the Republican Party today that still stands for traditional American values that has made this country what it is. It is also strong, based on strong conservative principles that allows people to pursue their dreams and pursue the things that are important to them. So I would say that if you're thinking about it, come meet us. We would love to meet you, and we want to be able to make things for your life and your family what you want it to be too.
There's a stereotype that is not true, but I want to make sure everybody knows that you welcome everybody, whether your name is Smith or Martinez or Yazzie. It doesn't matter. If you have the same conservative values, then you're welcome, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's those different backgrounds that make us even stronger. America has always been known as the melting pot. That was not meant to be an insult. It's actually one of our greatest strengths because we're able to take from the strengths of all of our different backgrounds and experiences and histories, and we can bring all of those things together and we can make something really splendidly beautiful and strong. So yes, everyone is welcome. Doesn't matter your last name, doesn't matter your background. If you have the same principles and the same desires that we do, we would love to have you.
I will be right back with more from our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, President Biden wants to forgive student loans. The Supreme Court says, wait a minute, we need to look into this. Tell us what happened.
Sure. As we're recording this program on Tuesday of this week, the Supreme Court is actually hearing the oral arguments today. Basically, the people who brought the suit are saying that you cannot give out taxpayer money to rich people. They're saying that this basically is a bailout for the rich, upward redistribution of wealth. Usually when you have the conversation about redistribution, what you have is they're going to take from the wealthy and give to the poor. This is just the opposite. It's going to take from the poor who don't go to college, and it's going to give to the rich who do and can afford to go to college. And so an important discussion going on as we speak in the Supreme Court about where you can give money to and where you can't give it to. We won't get the decision immediately, but the oral arguments are being heard today, getting a lot of attention in the news. And of course, all students would like to have their loans forgiven. Wouldn't we all like to have our loans forgiven? But we'll tell you that the problem is far more complex than just giving a bailout from the government. But we'll see where the Supreme Court lines on this. Those appointees that Trump was able to make during his four-year term are looming important in every single decision the Supreme Court makes for the next 15 or 20 years.
Well, I was offended by that idea because I'm sure like you, I worked, 29 hours a week and went to school full time, got done with my college degree in 4 years, a bachelor's degree in obviously radio, TV, film. I would not have entered into a loan that I didn't think I could have paid back.
You know, one of the kind of the unspoken things about these loans for the universities is there's probably nothing that is more highly priced than a university college degree. They charge you far more than they're worth. You get a four-year degree and you can get a teaching position for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, whatever they bring. But without a four-year degree in Lee County, New Mexico, you can get a job driving a truck for $120,000 a year. If you want to work as a plumber, you can make more than that. If you work as a welder, you make far more than that. And so the overvaluation of the college scholarships is just another scam that's being perpetrated on the public, convincing people that you've got to go and take out these loans. I have friends that owe $100,000 for the four-year degree, and they never wondered, is it actually going to be worth it? Because we're just told from the day of our birth, you got to have a college degree. Well, right now, that looks like they're deeply overvalued. And what's going on is that those high-priced tuitions are going to pay university professors that teach 1 or 2 days a week. And they've got just a kind of a sweetheart deal, making well over six figures. They get probably a 20-year retirement, and they're probably making 80% of what they made when they're working on retirement. And so the system is just top-heavy, and that's the reason that Biden is suggesting a bailout, because students are having to pay far more for what they're getting than what it's worth.
You can see what's coming down the road. I bought this car, Steve, and I can't afford to make the payments. I need the government to bail me out from this Lincoln Continental that I bought, when, of course, you could have bought a Toyota Corolla and still gets you there. But I wanted the Lincoln.
Yeah,
the government should pay for it.
That's exactly what the constitutional amendment that people voted for last November here in New Mexico gives the government the right to go in and bail out people's rent, their mortgage payments. It can give people money to pay their bills. And so you and I are going to face that in New Mexico in the very near future.
Thank you, Steve. And I've been talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. If you've been listening to us and like what you hear and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. First, check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to speak with someone in person, you may phone party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week on Inside New Mexico.